We have a mitzvah to put on tzitzis on a beggar that has four corners. The Gemara has a machlekes satanayim. What if the beggar has five corners or more? We pass on halacha that it is chayv in tzitzis on only four out of the five corners. The mitzvah b'shleimusa consists of having tcheles and lovan together. And there's a machlekes satanayim, whether tcheles me'akeves es halovan or lovan me'akeves ha'tcheles. What if I made all the strings tcheles? I made all the strings lavan. That's a machlokes satanoim. Rov harishanim paskan like the chachamim that they're not makfim zezet. The mitzvah b'shleimusa is if you have part tcheles, part lavan, and you're in fulfillment of a mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa if you have one without the other. The Baal Hamor in his commentary on the Rif on Perek Bamem Adlikin, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Yudah b'Rabbi Loi used to bathe on Erev Shabbos, Lekovit Shabbos, get dressed up with Big Day Shabbos and put on a talis, Lekovit Shabbos, with Tchelas. So Baal Hamor writes over there that he thinks the halacha is a Tchelas, Makevas, Asalom, and like the opinion of Rebbe, Rabbi Yudah Nasi's opinion. The Ramban writes there in the Muhammad, Ramban doesn't accept the Baal Hamor. Ramban writes there that he heard that the Baal Hamor never wore tzitzis, because according to the Baal Hamor, of tcheles ma'akeves ha'salovan, so there's no partial kiyum ha'mitzvah even if you have, and they didn't have tcheles available at that time, so there isn't even a partial kiyum ha'mitzvah. So what are you wasting your time? What are you saying a bracha for if you hold tcheles ma'akeves ha'salovan? We don't accept la chita. We pass la locha tcheles not ma'akeves ha'salovan, and it's an incomplete mitzvah. The Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs writes that tcheles and lovan are two parts of one mitzvah, and if you have part without the other, it's a mitzvah shelo b'shleimusa. Daniel Abavli was a dayan in Baghdad, and he had a correspondence with Rabbein Avraham ben Harambam, and this manuscript was printed by Mr. Nissim in Paris in the 1800s, put up the money to print this Ksaviyad. That's why the Sefer is called Maisei Nissim. Soloveitchik always used to say he never understood why is it called Maisei Nissim. He says it's real halacha, no Nissim in the floss over there. It says on the first page why it's called Mr. Nissim, paid for the publication of the Sefer. So there's a correspondence between Rabbi Daniel, the Dayan from Baghdad, Rabbi Avraham ben Harambam, regarding several points that the Rama has mainly in Sefer Mitzvahs. He had the taina against the Rama Mastira. The Rambam writes that Dalad Minin Shebelula Ma'akvim Zezeh, so therefore he's only going to count it as one mitzvah. Whenever you have things that are not Ma'akvim Zezeh, then the Rambam thinks that that's an indication that it's two mitzvahs. And whenever you have things that are Ma'akvim Zezeh, let's say Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh are not Ma'akvim Zezeh, so I think the Rambam counts it as two different mitzvahs, Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, and Dalad Minin Shebelula he counts as one mitzvah. So the Rambam himself paskens that tcheles and lovan not me'akvim zezeh. So how come he doesn't count it as two different mitzvahs? That's Rabbi Daniel Habavli's taina. So the Rabbein Avraham ben Rambam says, no, you have to have a feel for it. Over here, tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh are two different mitzvahs. But over here, there's a mitzvah b'shleimus of tcheles with lovan. If you have one without the other, then it's considered a mitzvah shelo b'shleimus. There is a sefer HaChumash that's called Revid HaZohov. The Torah Tmima writes in his introduction that he's using the Revid HaZohov. It was written by, it's a Sefer Mar Mekayimus to Gemaris and to Rishonim and to Tshuva Sfarim Achreinim by a Dayan who lived in Vilna at the time of the Vilna Goyen. So in the Sefer Revid HaZohov, he writes, maybe there's a remez in the Chumash to indicate that the Psak Halacha is like that, that Tcheles is not Makevus HaSalovim, because the Chumash says, throughout all the future generations. So Lidairosim even includes a generation where Tcheles is not available. So you see from the word Lidairosim that Tcheles is not Me'akevas HaSalom. How does he know that you have a right to see from Lidairosim that it even applies to a generation when the Tcheles is not available? Because the Gemara says that when a ger converts, he has to bring a korban oila. If he can afford it, he'll bring an oilas behema. If he can't afford it, so you can bring an oilas oif. You bring a two oifas for an oilas oif. So the Gemara says that maybe you can't be mekabala ger b'zman shein beis hamikdash katan because you can't bring the karbonis. The Gemara says no. Since the pasuk says, it applies to all future generations, So it even applies to a generation when there's no Beis Hamikdash. Similarly over here, it says you put on tzitzis, d'orei sam, throughout all the future generation, even if you live in a generation where there's no tzitzis. Not exactly the same, because the Pasuk and Chumash speaks about a generation where there won't be a Beis Hamikdash. There is no Pasuk and Chumash that ever talks about a generation. We lived for many years, there were generations where they didn't have any tchelis. But the Pasuk never speaks about such a generation when there's no tchelis. But the Pasuk speaks explicitly about a generation where there won't be a Beis Hamikdash. And it says in that generation, but in tchelis, how do you know to darshan? But that's his suggestion. Maybe you have a remez from the Pasuk that tchelis is not makevus, that din should be like the Chachamim de Rebbe, tchelis is not makevus as alon. How much of the string, how many strings are you supposed to have? Is a machlokes bishama and beis hilo. The Mishnah in the first parak of Masechus Shabbos said that one day the bishama outvoted the beis hilo. So like in Congress, they look around to see who's in attendance that day. So that day the bishama outvoted beis hilo on 18 gzeres. They made 18 gzeres the rabbanon against the beis hilo. Then the next day the beis hilo showed up and they agreed with all the 18 gzeres. So they weren't really outvoted. It wasn't a trick. It turned out the Beis Hillel who were there didn't agree with Beis Shammah they were arguing, but the next day they agreed. So that's Yud Ches Gzeris, where we pass from like the Beis Shammah against Beis Hillel. Then the Tosis in the beginning of Sukkah, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, where Tosis quotes the Siddur Rav Amram Goen, that there are an additional 6 cases where we pass from like Beis Shammah, in addition to the 18 Gzeris. That adds up to be 24 cases. So 2 of the cases where we pass from like Beis Shammah have to do with Tzitzis. So one of them is how many strings you're supposed to make. Are you supposed to have 3 strings folded over to make 6. He's supposed to have 4 long strings folded over to make 8. So we pass like Beis Shammai that you have 4 strings folded over to make 8. The Gemara tells in Baba Basra very strange stories. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was traveling in the Midbar, and an Arab was showing him all the sights. He had a tour guide, and then he showed him the Meisei Midbar. So they asked Rabbi Bar Bar Chana when he came back to the yeshiva, did you look at the tzitzis of the Meisei Midbar to see whether it's like Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai? So he said it didn't occur to him. So they said, idiot, what was the whole purpose of the whole tour? You should have looked at the tzitzis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Chana was a fool. He should have checked. You see from that Gemara that archaeological evidence is accepted as far as how to do mitzvahs. That's what the Achronim all say. You see from that Gemara.
But by the tzitzis, it's not accepted.
By the tzitzis? The Gemara says one of the Tanoim was in Rome, and he saw, Megmar Me'ila says, Manataram was in Rome, and he saw the tzitz, and it said, Kodesh Lashem on one line. And the Rambam, it's a machloike, it's a Tanaim. Tanaim lived after the Churban Abayis. They never saw the tzitzes, the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to wear. So the Rambam paskens like the other Tana that is supposed to say, Kodesh La, and Yud Kei Bavki is a line above. You have to read from the second line up to the first line. So the Kesem Mishneh is, how can the Rambam pasken against archaeological evidence? If they found the tzitz in the treasury in the Vatican, and it was all on one line. So the Kesem Mishneh says the tzitz has to fit the head of the Kohen Gadol. So there were a lot of Kohanim Gedolim in the Bayis Sheni. So there were probably many, many different tzitz. Every Kohen Gadol had a different size forehead. So the one that they saw in the Vatican treasury had it all on one line. Probably the Rambam holds another generation. That's not a valid archaeological evidence. The Rambam thinks there were 300 others where they were in two lines. That doesn't prove the point. Like if you find a mikveh and it doesn't correspond to the Chazanish's shiurim, so it's right, the Chazanish is wrong. So the Chazanish says maybe that was a mikveh of Tzedukim, who says maybe that was a mikveh of not from the Tanaim. The Tanaim maybe would have had a bigger mikveh, would have had bigger shiurim. It has to be good archaeological evidence. Okay, so we paskin is supposed to be 4 long strings folded over to make 8 short strings. How many of the strings are supposed to be blue? How many strings are supposed to be lovan? So that's a machloikas. The Rambam says 1 out of 8 is supposed to be blue. Means, what do you mean? You take a string and you dye half of it. So if you dip a half a string in the dye, it'll only be dyed on the outside. It won't be, the dye won't take through and through. So you have to dye the wool before you make it into a string. And then you have to spin a string. You have to make a string half with this wool, half with the other wool. It's quite a stunt, according to the Rambam. It's a difficult job. The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam. Psil Tchelis means one long string out of the four long strings. One long string should be blue, and the other three long strings should be white. And Rashi and Taisus on Perakat Tchelis learn that it's two and two. In Shulchan Aruch, that's the only opinion that's quoted is Rashi and Taisus, that it's two and two. Two of the long strings should be blue, and two of the long strings should be white. We have dinim that are based on that assumption. We have a din of Gardume. The Gemara says, if you had tefillin that originally were merubayim, tefillin have to be square. Originally they were merubayim, and then from use, the square got ruined, or whatever, a pasulus in the tefillin, even though it started off as being kosher, and a psul developed, so gardume tefillin apostle. The Gemara says, because that's a tashmishi kedusha. But tzitzis is only tashmishi mitzvah, so the Gemara says, gardume, if it started off with the correct length, and then the strings ripped a little bit, so then it would be kosher. So the Rabbi Natam reads that Gemara, he reads the Gemara literally. If you had four long strings, two with tchelis, two with lovan, even bisman hazeh, that many people have, all the four strings are white, but two represent lovan, two represent tchelis. So if two of the strings are complete, and the other two complete the correct length, we'll have to discuss what is the correct length. And the other two strings started off with the correct length, and then they ripped a little bit after you completed the tying. So as long as they have kedei aniva, you have a little bit left either on one end or the other end of that string. You have a little bit left, enough to tie a knot around all of the other seven strings, and then it would be kosher. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch like that. The Rabbein Tam Shita, that is supposed to be two and two. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Malbim. The Malbim wrote, was one of the Gedolei Hador and his generation in Psak Halacha. Then he went into Tanakh. Something happened, and instead of being one I recognize as one of the poskim, he went into Tanakh. I have a whole story what happened. So the Malbim wrote a sefer Artzus HaChaim on the beginning of Orachaim. So he has an Hilchos Tzitzis, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it a lot. So he quotes from the Artzus HaChaim. Let's say I have a silk beged, a four-cornered talus, and I want to make silk tzitzis. So the Gemara says silk tzitzis on a silk beged is good if the tzitzis were made lishma, if the tviya sachutim is made lishma. Silk tzitzis on a cotton beged is no good. A cotton tzitzis on a silk beged is no good. Strings of tzemer or pishtim, woolen strings, we always use woolen strings or pishtim, linen strings are good, whatever the garment is made from. But silk is only, silk and strings are only good on a silk garment, and cotton strings are only good on a cotton garment. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arts of Sachaim, what if you have, let's say, a silk garment, and you want to use, in one corner, two of the four strings will be silk, and two of the four strings will be wool. So he says, that's okay, but three and one would not be acceptable, because the unit is two. The two are lovan and two are tchelis. Even if you don't have any tchelis at all, we assume that's two opinions in Tosfos. When you say tchelis not me'akeves salom, so you only have to put two strings and fold it over to make four. You have to have four strings folded over to make eight, and you won't dye them tchelis. So the accepted practice for many generations has been like that opinion in Tosfos, that you always need four strings folded over to make eight, just that you didn't dye them tchelis. So that's what the Arts of Sachaim says, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. If you have two long strings of silk on a silken garment and two long strings of wool, and you tie them all together, that would be good. But three and one would not be acceptable. How long are the strings supposed to be when you start off? So the Gemara says the correct shear is four etzbos. An etzba is the width of the thumb, the pashtus is. Others have some Talmud Chacham came up with a new Einfall. It doesn't mean that, but for the last 2,000 years, that's what we always assumed, the width of the thumb. So if you have four, that's the width of the thumb, four etzbos is a tefach. A tefach is from the top of the thumb to the bottom. That's called a tefach. So how much is a tefach? So Moshe holds it a tefach. Moshe writes, he doesn't understand, how could there be a machloikas? He measured many times, and it always comes out to be 3.6. Moshe happened to be very short. So he doesn't understand how could it be a machlokes. Different people have different sizes of a thumb. What's so surprising? So Moshe thinks that it's 3.6 inches. Chazanis thinks that it's 4 inches. Nafkmina, how big mechitza has to be. Ten tefachim is 36 inches. Ten tefachim is 40 inches. How big does a mikveh have to be? Mikveh has to be ama alama berum gimel ama. So how much water is there? How big is that? Nafkmina for many halachas. So the Gemara says that the correct length of the tzitzis is four etzbos long. What does that mean? Four etzbos long? The whole string has to be four etzbos long. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says you're supposed to wind around part of the tzitzis, and then you're supposed to have loose strings on the bottom. So the proper proportion is one third wound around and two thirds loose. So Taisus has two pshatim on that Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the two opinions, where the four etzbos is the length of the whole tzitzis from the top to the bottom, and one third of that, one etzba plus is supposed to be wound around, and then a little less than three etzbos is supposed to be the loose part. And no, the part that's wound around is supposed to be four etzbos, and the rest is supposed to be eight etzbos. So sach hakol is 12 etzbos. That's what lachatchila, we always follow that opinion. We have long strings that turn out to be 12 etzbos sach hakol. Lachatchila, one third, the top part should be four etzbos, the part that's wound around, and the loose part should be eight etzbos. It says in Shulchan Aruch that b'shas hadchak, if you have such short tzitzis, we would be mekel if the whole thing sach hakol is only four etzbos. But we usually don't have that practice. Many have the practice to have very long tzitzis, very long tzitzis. The Torah Tmima quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, the beginning of Pei, Eladorm She'elahem Shira, Pei, Ava, Bikurim, Aroin, Venus Chasodim, Salma Torah. How come it doesn't mention other things there? There are other things that are Eilahem Shira. The Yerushalmi answers, the Mishnah only mentions Dorm She'elahem Shira if you're enhancing the Kiyam HaMitzvah Pei. If you give more Pei than you have to, so you're more charitable, so you get more Schar, because you're giving the Aniyim more. You give the Kohanim more. The Kohanim don't make a Parnassus. So you give them more. Talmud Torah. If you learn more Torah, if you learn more than an hour a day, so you get more schar, and so on. But if you have longer tzitzis, it doesn't enhance the mitzvah. It doesn't enhance the mitzvah. So that's what the Torah Tamima says, that it's a joke. People want to have longer tzitzis. They think that they're enhancing the Kima mitzvah. The Yerushalmi says that it doesn't enhance the Kima mitzvah, and that's why the other mitzvahs are not mentioned in that opening Mishnah in Maseches Peah. What type of garments are chayv in tzitzis? So the Gemara has a machlekes satanoim in Perek HaTcheles. Should we assume only tzemer? Stam beged homa b'Torah is tzemer or pishtim. So the Chumash is only speaking about tzemer, beged, a woolen garment or a linen garment. And if you wear a cotton garment or any other material, then it'll only be chayv in tzitzis min derabbanan. Or should we assume, no, that there is no such rule that stam beged homa b'Torah is only tzemer or pishtim. And whatever material the beged is made from, it'll be chayv in tzitzis min HaTorah. It's machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, how we should paskin. That's where Moshe Feinstein writes that why do we all wear tzitzis? There's no obligation to wear a garment with four corners. The din is if it's a mitzvah sarshus. The Rambam says there are some mitzvahs you absolutely mechuyev to say kriyashma every day. Mezuzah, if you sleep in the park, a bum who sleeps in the park, not chayv mezuzah. Makeh, if you don't have a roof that you use, and not chayv makeh. My first child is a girl, so I'm not chayv the opinion of that. There's no mitzvah, only under certain conditions. So tzitzis, if you wear a garment that has four corners, then you chayv in tzitzis. You don't wear a garment. In contemporary society, who wears a garment that has four corners? They don't sell clothing like that. Are you mechuyev to go wear a garment that has four corners? Not really. The Gemara says not really. So why do we do that? So Taisvis says, the Shitim Kubetzes on the side of Maseches Menachos and Pergat Chelis quotes a lot of missing Taisus in that we don't have. So Taisus there comments based on the Gemara at the end of the first Perik in Soito. The Gemara says, Mipnei Manasava Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu offer so many hundreds of prayers? V'eschanan El Hashem, he wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. V'chlechon Mipiria with his Baal Mituva, he wanted to swim in the Kinneret. He wanted to sunbathe. Why did he was interested in Eretz Avos Cholav Dvash, wanted to have a good time in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah of Tzelius Baretz. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Tzelius Baretz. Well, what did he want? So you see from that Gemara that a person who's a tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, should always put himself in a situation that he should obligate himself in additional mitzvah. So that's why we have the practice, we wear a four-corner garment in order to obligate ourselves to put on tzitzis. Other Balei HaTosfos are very upset about that. What kind of chutzpah? Who do you think you are? You're like Moshe Rabbeinu, and you'll be in the Madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu, it makes sense to go wear a four-corner garment, even though that's not the common practice. You're not, It's a yuhara. Who? You're not a madrega Moshe Aveiro. So there were communities where only the Rav would wear a talis. The Balabatim would not wear the talis. I have a distant relative who was, I think, from Morocco. I'm not sure exactly. Somewhere over there. And he says, in the Altaheim, only the rabbi wore a talis. And now they all came, moved to Eretz Yisrael. So they all gave up all the minhagim because they're embarrassed. Everybody else wears a talis. All the other kehillas wear a talis. So he says, it's not right. They should preserve all the old minhagim that only the rabbi should wear the talis. So that's so our practice is that everybody wears a talis. We go out of our way. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that that's why many have the practice of dafka wear an arba kamfas that's made from wool, because according to some opinions, you're only in fulfillment of the mitzvah deraisa if you wear a four-corner garment that's made from wool or from linen. If it's made from cotton, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. So that's why many will be mahada dafka to wear an arba kamfas that's made from wool. They quote that the Vilna Gaon used to wear an arba kamfas made from cotton. He didn't wear wool. But on the other hand, the Vilna Gaon sat in talis and tefillin all day long. So he wore a talis when he went to the bathroom. He took off the talis and he was only wearing a cotton arba kamfas, but all day long he was wearing a woolen talis gaon, which we don't do today. Okay. The Gemara says if you wear a four-corner garment made from leather, you're not chayv in tzitzis. So it's assumed that the reason why leather is not chayv in tzitzis is because there is no shesevier, there is no warp and woof. In order to be called a beged, you have to have thread that goes horizontally and vertically in both directions. That's called shesevier. And leather is one sheet. So there are different types of synthetic material. Sometimes they take petroleum or whatever they use, and they make a sheet of material just like this. They don't make any thread. So that l'chol ha'deis is not chayv in tzitzis. The shaila is, what if you took the same petroleum and you could have theoretically made one big sheet out of it, and instead you made thread, and then the thread you made warp and a woof. So Moshe Feinstein says, that material, since that's synthetic material, you could have, if you wanted to, you could have made one big sheet. So even if you didn't do like that, it's not chayv in tzitzis, it's dino ke'or, and a beggar shalor is not chayv in tzitzis. And others disagree. Tzvi Pesach Frank disagrees. He writes in his Shuvos, if you made one sheet out of it, then it's the same as or. It doesn't have a warp and a woof. But if you made thread, and you made from the thread shes of the Arab, then you would be chayiv in tzitzis. One of the six additional cases where we pass from like the Bisham against the Beis Hillel is, there was a machlekes Bisham and Beis Hillel, should we make a gzera de Rabbanim prohibiting one from putting tzitzis on a beged shel pishton? Why should you prohibit? So the Beis Shammai hold, they made a gzera de Rabbanon, and we follow Beis Shammai. There's a gzera Rabbanon, you're not allowed to put tzitzis on a beged shel pishton. Why not? So the Gemara says, in the days of the Tanoim, there were fakers who were selling imitation tchelis, which were puzzle. It was klo'ilon. Klo'ilon, the Oruch is a dictionary that Rashi and Tosfos quote. Oruch, Rav Nosson lived in Rome. There was a big Jewish community in Rome in the times of the Bayi Sheni. I think they have 11 shuls in Rome from the time of the Bayi Sheni. They have Jewish cemeteries from the times of the Bayi Sheni. So he didn't live in the days of the Bayi Sheni. He lived before the days of Rashi and Tosfos. The Oruch was a Rishon. So the Oruch writes in his dictionary that Klo'ilon is indigo. Indigo, we know what it is. It's a blue that comes from a plant. So the Gemara said that that's possible, even though it's the exact same color, blue, that you're supposed to use for tcheles. It's possible for tcheles. Tcheles has to have, the source of the tcheles must be from the chalazon, which is some kind of an animal in the Mediterranean. That's what Rabbi Herzog wrote a whole, his doctoral dissertation was on tcheles. So he writes that the word chalazon in the Midrashim always means a shellfish, a shelled animal. It doesn't mean a fish at all. So that's why they have found this this murex that they use now, that's a shellfish. So the halacha requires that the tchelis has to be a specific color blue. If you use klo'ilin, it's no good. And it has to be, that string of tchelis has to be wool. Even though the other strings may be silk, let's say the garment is silk, but the tchelis has to be a specific color from a specific source, from the chalazon, and it has to be dafka wool. So let's say if you have a beged shel pishton, and you're going to put in tchelis, so it's going to make shatnas. So the Gemara says you have no choice. And that pasuk, the smichas apsukim in Chumash Dvarim, that you have one pasuk next to the other. One pasuk says gzilim tase l'chol arba kampus ksuscha shetachaseh bod. Then the next pasuk says silba shatnas be'etzemer pishtim yachdov. So in Chumash Dvarim, the Gemara says all the tanaim agree that we darshan smuchim bereishis through bamidbar is a question. Like this tanaim, if you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's a hekesh. If you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim, that's called smuchim, and that's a machlokes hatanaim, where they darshan smuchim in the beginning of Yivam, is daf hey. So in Chumash Dvarim, all the tanaim agree, darshan smuchim. So this is the marker for esed decholay sesed. The fact that the Torah writes one pasuk next to the other, you have to put tzitzis even in a beged shel pishton. You have to put tcheles, and tcheles has to be woolen strings. So by definition, you're going to tie a knot on the bottom. That's going to make it into shatnas. So esse is decholay sesse. You have no choice. But it's only esse decholay sesse if it's going to be authentic tcheles. If they're going to dye it with kloilon. And in the days of the time, they had a lot of fakers who were selling this imitation tcheles. There's no way chemically to identify. You have to trust the guy. You have to take his word for it. With all the chemical tests that they make, there's no way to tell the difference between the blue that comes from the vegetable in India, the chloil and the indigo, as opposed to the blue that comes from this murex trunculus. It's the exact same color blue. So if you use posala trelis, then you have shat and shaloba makam mitzvah. Then it's you don't say esed dechaloy sesi. It wasn't necessary to have the whole woolen string and the beged shel pishtan because you're not yotze the trelis anyway. So Beishaima made a gzera de rabbanon because there were so many fakers selling the posala trelis, so they prohibited putting tzitzis, period. You're not allowed to put tzitzis at all. The two tesis has two versions. Beishami prohibited putting tcheles in the beged shel pishton, and prohibited putting tzitzis, period. So we assume no tzitzis, period. They said, you're allowed to wear the four-corner garment and don't put in tzitzis. Anarach rais, don't put in tzitzis. The Tur quotes from his father, the Rosh. The Rosh lived in Germany. He learned by the Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg was the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos. So the Rosh and the Mordechai Nagos, Maimini and others, they wrote Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg, the end of that period of the Balei HaTosfos. So they put the Maharam Rutenberg in prison to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. Maharam said they shouldn't ransom him, and he died in the prison. They're very nice. They used to give shir every day when it was cold on Shabbos, so they would ask the prison guards to make the fire. Amir l'nach is mutter that you shouldn't catch a cold. Chodoshem b'sakana. And Shulchan Aruch, they quote all this. So after the Maharam Rutenberg died in prison, so the Rosh realized they're going to put him in prison now to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. So he ran away to Spain. And then he stayed by the Rashba for a week, and then he got a Rabbanus in Spain, in a different city. Not in the same city where the Rashba was. So the Rosh is in the Tshuvas HaRosh, and the Tur quotes this in Simeches, and the Magen Avraham quotes this in the Tur. B'shem HaRosh and Simeches, the Rosh came to Spain, he was surprised to see that the people were wearing an arba kampus, a beged of tzitzis that was made from linen. He said, isn't there a gzera de rabbanon that you're not allowed to? So they explained to him, the gzera de rabbanon is only because of the concern that somebody may put in imitation tcheles, and it'll be shatnen shaloba mocha mitzvah. It'll be kilayim, and it wasn't necessary to have kilayim because it's not really kosher tcheles. But bizman hazeh, in the days of the Rosh, nobody had any tcheles, so there was no chashash. So he said, since the reason for the gzera didn't apply, so the whole gzera didn't apply. So that's a famous problem. The Mishkan and Yankev has a whole tshuva about that. We spoke about it last week. What do you mean? Usually we say whenever there's a gzera de rabbanon that was instituted for a specific reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, that's called davishim minyan, tzach minyan achal ater. Even if there's an instance, or you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, the gzera de rabbanon still applies. So how come the Rosh was satisfied? Ooh, he got all excited, wonderful. He accepted their explanation. How can you accept it? It's a davishim minyan. So the Mishkan is Yankiv has a fantastic tshuva in his second sefer in Koheles Yankiv, Chelek HaShem Mishpat, Simen Beis, about the copyrights. So he writes, called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kein Deraisa Tikkun. The Takkun is the Rabbanon, that pattern after Dinim Deraisa. Dinim Deraisa, there are two types. Sometimes the Torah says a mitzvah and it gives the reason right next to the mitzvah. It says, L'solen Nevlosal Ha'etz, Kovetik Bereda Mayomahu, Ki Kirlus Elakim Toloi. Because it's a violation of Kovet Abrius to have a person, a dead person, stay overnight. So the Chumash gives the reason why. So since the Chumash writes explicitly the reason why, so whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the prohibition doesn't apply. So that's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. If someone dies today, and they want to have more people attend the funeral, so it's permissible to postpone the funeral till tomorrow. Helinei lechvodo, zeino evrolov, you're not in violation of tzal and nevlasa. But then, most of the mitzvahs in the Torah doesn't write the reason. The Chachamim have the right to figure out what the reason is, fine. But do you have the right to declare that whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the mitzvah doesn't apply? So this was a machlekes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, and the end above him it's here, whether dashin and time and dekro, loy dashin and time and dekro. That you're supposed to try to figure out what are the tamei ha-mitzvahs. All the Tanoim agree. That's a Tosis and Gittin. All the Tanoim agree. To try to figure out what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah trying to teach us by giving us this mitzvah, that's a chelek of Talmud Torah. What are the dinim, and what are the dinim driving at? What are they trying to teach us? Everybody agrees. But the machlek is Satanaim, as Reb Shimon holds, even if the Chumash doesn't write explicitly the reason for the mitzvah, if the Rabbanim can establish the reason, if whenever the reason doesn't apply, then the mitzvah won't apply. And we don't accept that. We paskin loy dashin at time in the Krah. So on the level of the Rabbanon, also in the Mishkan and Yankov says there'll be two types of Gzeres the Rabbanon. Ruba the Ruba, 98% of the Gzeres the Rabbanon, you have to have a reason to make a Gzeres the Rabbanon. You can't make a Gzeres without a good reason. And if you have an insignificant reason, a flimsy reason, the Bezdin is a violation of Baltaisa for making such a Gzeres the Rabbanon. A Milsa de Lashchicha, you have no right to make a Gzeres the Rabbanon. You have to have a real concern. And if you make a gzera, the Bezna is concerned someone's going to violate an Issa de Rabbanon, that's insufficient cause. So the Bezna has no right to make such a gzera, and the Prima Gadim says the Bezna will be in violation of Bal Tosef if they'll make such a gzera because they're concerned someone's only concerned going to violate an Avera de Rabbanon. But the question is, when they made the gzera, did they incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera? It's prohibited to do this because of this reason? Or you say, no, they had a reason. And they made a gzera de Rabbanon stomach. So Ruba de Ruba, 98% of the gzera de Rabbanon, they did not incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. The Gemara says, in fact, in Avodah Zarah, that when the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud Bavli was written in Bava. So the Gemara says, Bemarava, in Eretz Yisrael, when they make a gzera de Rabbanon, the Bezdin doesn't reveal the reason to anyone for 12 months. Let the people first get used to observing the gzera de Rabbanon, and then we'll let them know what the reason for the gzera is. So they wouldn't incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So the Mishkanes Yankiv says, but in rare instances where the nature of the Gzera was Akiras Dovim and HaTorah, they're telling someone not to fulfill a mitzvah that it says in the Torah. The Torah says a kohen should duchen even if he has a mum, and the Tanoim and the Mishnah say if he has mum in Bipanav Yad V'Veraglav, they're going to draw attention to the mum, and people are going to be staring at the kohen's hand or the kohen's face, so we prohibit him from duchening. So how can they make a gzera de Rabbanon and tell you don't listen to the Chumash? So they have to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. So the same over here, when the Rosh says, when the Bishamai made a gzera de Rabbanon, you're not permitted to put tzitzis on a beggar shel pishtan. So they have to incorporate the Tam HaGzera into the Nusach HaGzera. Otherwise it's against what it says in the Chumash. So since the Tam HaGzera is incorporated into the Nusach HaGzera, so whenever the Tam doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera doesn't apply. Same as Dinim Daraisa. When the Chumash has a mitzvah and it says the reason for the mitzvah right next to the mitzvah, so whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the mitzvah doesn't apply.
Wasn't also Hashash, if you put tzitzis on Pishtan that night, you're not hiding tzitzis, that's also going to be a problem?
The Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos says that that's not a problem. He says, even though balayloi not mechuyev in the mitzvah, but since it's a beged shel tzitzis, so it's a hutra, it's mutar even at night. The Gemara does not say that reason. The Gemara just says the reason because of the klo'ilam. So Tosfos explained the reason why they didn't say that reason is because it would be hutra. So the Mishkanes Yankiv likes that explanation. He thinks that that is correct. That whenever you have explained a lot of dinim with that, whenever you have gzera de rabbanon, that's bakiras dov menator, like the kohanim shouldn't duchen if they have mumin. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Rabbi Yosef Kar writes at Bizman Hazeh, that the kohanim started a new custom in the 1500s to cover their hands with the talis, so the kohanim can have all the mumin in the world. The balabatim can't see what they have on their hands, on their face, so everybody should go duchen. So the Beis Yosef says like that. You have a gzera that's bakiras dov menatoira. So the Tam HaGzera was incorporated into the Nusach HaGzera. So that's why That's why whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the whole din doesn't apply.
What about shofar, if you said there's no interest to happen?
The Mishnah Berurah blibes by Akasha. Mishnah Berurah asked the Akasha that the way it says in Shulchan Aruch that we rarely have a Shasaram Daraisa Bizman Azeh, so we should blow shofar on Shabbos. So the Bir Aloch asked the Akasha two lines and he doesn't have a teretz. He doesn't have a teretz. The Gemara said a din that if Hakonof Min Konof, that if the garment is made from silk, then you can use silken strings, silken chutim. If the silken strings were made, that tefillah lishma. And if the garment is made from cotton, then you can use cotton strings, and so on. So the Rambam is of the opinion that Hakonof Min Konof doesn't only apply to the material, that you can use silk strings, it even applies to the color. Namely, if the garment is green, so the tefillah has to be tefillah. But the lavan is not a din, it has to be white. Lavan means whatever color the garment is, that's what color the string should be. So if the garment is green, so it should be green. The garment is orange, so you can make it orange, whatever color. And Shulchan Aruch says our meaning is that we wear a white talis, and they give two reasons. One reason al pi halach, and one reason al pi kabbalah. The reason al pi halach is because if you wear a green garment, Shlomo Kalbach used to wear a very colorful talis. So if you wear a colorful talis, you have a machlekes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim, whether you're supposed to make the strings colorful also. So in order not to get involved in the machlekes, we wear a white garment. The only exception, the Mishnah Berurah says, the only exception we have is that we have the black bars on the bottom of the talis. Many have such a practice, that's to make a zecher l'tcheles. Those who wear tcheles don't need a zecher l'tcheles, so they don't need any black stripes. There are two minhagim, whether you have black stripes or blue stripes. So that's really a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. What color is the tcheles supposed to be? Tcheles domo l'rakia. Tcheles is supposed to be the color of the sky. Color of the sky when? So Rashi says the color of the sky at midnight. The color of the sky at midnight is like black. Pretty dark. It's very black. And the Rambam says color of the sky in the afternoon. That's a light blue. It's the same color blue. The question is how much do you dilute it? Do you dilute it with a lot of water? So it'll be light blue, or do you not dilute it? It's the exact same tcheles. The only question is, to what extent do you dilute it? So again, so the Ramoa has two reasons for this. Why the minig is that you have a white talis. And one reason, al-pi halacha, because if you have a green talis, you have a machlek, is the Rama and the other Rishonim, whether you're supposed to make the chute lovan green. Then the reason, al-pi kabbalah, because in Daniel had a vision. He sees the Rabban Shalom, he envisions the Rabban Shalom as an old man, Sare ka mar noka, Sare the hair, the Rabban Shalom is an old man with white hair. White hair. The hair was white as ka amar noka, like clean wool, tzemar noki, and levushe kitlag chiver, and his malbush was white as snow. So the Mekubalim say that the vision that Daniel had of the Ribbono Shel Olam was that he was wearing a white talis. The Sefer Hasidim complains that during his lifetime, people didn't wear talis and tefillin. They didn't wear talis, they didn't wear tefillin. The Smag used to travel around in all of Germany to give drushes encouraging the people they should wear tefillin. They said they don't want to wear tefillin because the Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos, you should only wear tefillin if you have a guf noki like Elisha Balak Nafai. So the people said they don't have a guf noki. He said, they're not going to wear tefillin. So he said, no, you have to wear tefillin. And then people only wore talis on Shabbos and Yontem. In the weekdays, they didn't wear talis. So the Sefer Hasidim has Musa. He says, what do you mean? He mevazah the malbush of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because in the vision that Daniel had, he envisioned the Ribbono Shel Olam wearing this garment, levushe kitlag chiver. The garment that the Ribbono Shel Olam was wearing, it was a white talis, white as snow. Kitlag chiver, like white snow. So that's the other reason that the Mishnah Berurah quotes al-pi kabbalah, why the talis should be white, shouldn't be colorful, that should be reminiscent of the beged of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Right. Doesn't have white stripes on their talis or beged. Is it significant?
The people in the neighborhood, the Yekis here, so all year long they have a talis with black stripes, and for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur they have white on white. They wear a white tie, and a white yarmulke, everything is white. The white kittel, they wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The different minhagim, you only wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. We are Kitla and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So they have white on white. Okay. Others Sephardim wear white on white all year long.
Is there any? No.
If you have a black stripe, that's Zechel Tchelis. You have a white stripe just for design.
People in the army need to show that we have to wear a green baguette. What should they do for the strings?
No, so we don't pass like the Rambam.
Yeah,
wear white strings. You know, you wouldn't follow the Rambam. But the minhag always was lachatchil, if you can avoid it, so you wear a white garment with white strings and not to get involved in the machlokes. And Shulchan Aruch says that if you wear, many of the conservatives wear a talus just around the neck. You know, it doesn't cover the body. So the Shulchan Aruch says if you have such a talus that's just worn around the neck, it's not chayv in tzitzis and it's a bracha levatola. It has to be a garment that covers a significant part of the body. Just a scarf around the neck is not chayv in tzitzis. The Gemara has a machloikas amoraim, where the tzitzis is chayvas gavra. The only time there's a mitzvah to put strings on the four corner garment is if you're wearing the talus. Let's say I buy a talus and I leave it in the drawer. When my old talus is going to be worn out, then I'm going to switch to buy the new talus. Am I obligated to put in tzitzis right away when it's still in the drawer? Klei kufsa, the Gemara has a four-corner garment that's sitting in the drawer. Klei kufsa, chayov mitzitzis, anat chayov mitzitzis. So the Gemara says, do we assume that it's chayvas mana, the kli, the beggar is mechayv and tzitzis, even though it's only sitting in the drawer? But they say, no, it's only chayvas gavra, it's a mitzvah to do levisha on tzitzis. And that's how we paskin. That when you're not wearing the beged, there's no obligation to have tzitzis in. So that's why the Gemara says there'll be a machleika samaraim. When you tie tzitzis on the garment, do you recite a bracha? So if the way we paskin that it's chayv is gavra, there's no mitzvah fulfilled until you wear it. So when you tie the tzitzis, it's only a hechsha mitzvah. It's hechsha mitzvah, which is not yet gemar mitzvah. So you're not yet say anything yet. So then you would not say a bracha. And according to the other opinion, that klei kufsa achayav mitzitzis, if you have a garment that's sitting in the drawer, it's chayv in tzitzis, and when you tie on the tzitzis, you're ready in fulfillment of a mitzvah, so you should say a bracha at that time. So Gemara says, we paskin, the nusach habracha is lehisatef b'tzitzis, not alasiyas tzitzis, and when you tie the tzitzis, you don't say a bracha, so we paskin klei kufsa anat chayav mitzitzis. The Gemara says, what if you have, let's say, what if you have a fork? Even according to the opinion that klei kufsa achayov mitzitzis, what if you have a garment that's only miyuchad to put? You have a mannequin in the storefront in the window, and this beged is miyuchad for the mannequin. So the Gemara says, if it's a beged that's not oimed lelevisha sodom, let's say a person bought tachrichim, he wants to be buried in the tachrichim. He never plans to wear those begodim while he's alive. So the Gemara says, everyone agrees that you're not chayv in tzitzis. You're only chayv in tzitzis in a beggar that's oimed lelevisha schay. If the beggar is oimed lelevisha on a mannequin, oimed lelevisha sameis, then for sure it's not chayv in tzitzis. If it's oimed lelevisha sachay, so then it's a machloikis. So one opinion that was rejected, one opinion was that you're chayv in tzitzis right away when it's in the drawer. We ask, you're only chayv in tzitzis when you actually wear the tzitzis. And then the Gemara says, but ha'ishaita, when you bury the fellow in the tachrichim, vader aminale, then you have to put the tzitzis in, because what, when he's dead, while he's alive, l'cholade is not chayv in tzitzis on the beged, because it's not oimed l'levisha sadam chay. But when you bury him in the tzitzis, then you have to put on tzitzis, why he's dead. So the Gemara says, loig l'rosh chayrif oisev, you're not going to put tzitzis in, so you're demonstrating to everyone that he's potem and amit. So our meaning is that we don't do like that. We rip the tzitzis. We pasel the tzitzis. So Tosfos has a whole discussion. Where do we get this practice from? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara said, Beferish, when you bury a mace, you're supposed to bury him with the tzitzis. So Tosfos has a whole list of practices that we follow outside Midrashim, outside sources, against the Talmud Bavli. So this is one of them. Torah HaShulchan quotes and others quote that the Vilna Gaon left instructions when he dies they should not passel his tzitzis. And when they were doing the Taras, they didn't tell all of his Talmidim, tell one of his Talmidim when he dies, make sure they don't passel my tzitzis. And then when they were preparing the Taras, that Talmid happened to go to the bathroom for 2 minutes. When he came back, it was too late. They had already passeled the tzitzis. Then there was another tzaddik who lived in Vilna who wrote the Sefer Yisod B'Sharash Avoida, Rabbi Alexander Ziskind. His descendants are known as Beraz, B'nei Rebbe Alexander Ziskind. Harry Fishel, I think, was a descendant. Harry Fishel paid money, he used to give a lot of money to the yeshiva years ago. He's one of the big supporters. So he was a descendant of Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. So he also left instructions. They should bury him. They shouldn't passel his tzitzis. And then they didn't. And when they were lowering, they didn't put people in a coffin. They used to lower the body wrapped up in the tzitzis. And when they were lowering it, so the tzitzis got caught on a stone, on a rock, and they became puzzled. So the teket abino shamayim, the two tzaddikim who didn't want to follow the minig, they didn't get their way. And our minig is that we puzzle the tzitzis. Okay, strange minig. Taisis discusses why we don't follow the Gemara. The Gemara says when you take the wool and you make it into the strings, you have to have tviya lishma. The tviya has to be done lishma. So the machlek is Rabbi Shmuel, and we pass on that the tviya has to be done lishma. What about when you tie the chutam on the garment? So the pasha pshat is, when you tie it on the garment, of course you need lishma. Not only is that called asiyas hatzitzis, when you tie it on the garment, even the preparing of the strings to make a tviya, to take the wool and to make it into string, also is called asiyas hatzitzis lishma. That's what Tosfos quotes in the name of Rabbi Natan. And the Rambam denies it. The Rambam says when you tie it onto the beged, you don't need kshira lishma. Only the preparation to take the wool, to make it into strings, that needs tefillah lishma. To tie it on the garment, you don't need tefillah lishma. But this, they all agree. If you ask a non-Jew to tie the tzitzis on the beged, the Gemara says that's possible. If a non-Jew ties the tzitzis, it's possible. So Taisa says that's exactly why, because you need the asiyah lishma. So Taisa says if a cotton will tie tzitzis, a cotton is a la bardas. The Gemara says in Gittin, a cotton can't think lishma when you need lishma by a get. A cotton is a la bardas, can't, whenever you need lishma, it's no good. When you make matzahs, you need asiyah lishma. So the only thing we allow a cotton, we permit the cotton to do is he should scream out l'shem mitzvahs matzah. We don't let him even make the holes in the matzah. We don't let the cotton do anything because you need asiyah lishma. So according to the Tosfos, a cotton who will tie tzitzis, it'll be possible. According to the Rambam, there's nothing wrong. A goy can't tie tzitzis, but a cotton is Jewish, so you don't need lishma. The Rabbi Natan goes a step further, that not only a cotton, not only a goy, not only a cotton, even isha, a woman who is not mechuyev in the mitzvah tzitzis, cannot create lishma. A woman who's not mechuyev in the midst of sukkah can build a sukkah because asiyas ha-sukkah doesn't require lishma. That's a machlekes bisham and bisilah. So we pass like bisilah that placing the schach does not require lishma. But since asiyas ha-tzitzis does need lishma, so a woman who's ain't a b'teres mitzvah tzitzis, al-pidin is mufka from the ability to create lishma. That shitas Rabbi Natan, and that's what we're machmer for that. Rabbi Kiveger on the Shulchan Aruch quotes a ha'ora, a comment from the Panim Yofas. Part of the office is a Sefer HaChumash written by the author of the Haflah. He was a Rav in Frankfurt. Haflah was a Chassidish, a Talmud of the Mezritcha Magid. And Haflah and his brother, the Rebbe Reb Shmelke, both they were from Poland, so they both got their Rabbanus in Germany by the Yekkes. It was a strange period of history. So the Haflah wrote whole Sefer HaChumash. The Sefer was printed by his son. His son was brought up in Frankfurt. So his son was anti-Chassidus. So every time the father quoted the Mezritcha Magid, so the son left it out. So every so often, the son made a mistake. The father quoted the Rabbah Magid, he meant the Magid Mishnah. So the son took that out also. The son didn't read the manuscript carefully. That's how they write the introduction to the later edition. Anyway, so the Panim Yofas has a comment. He says, a remez in the Chumash against the Rabbi Natan that a woman can tie tzitzis. It says, the Abel Bnei Yisrael, the Amarto Aleihem, Dibur is usually Loshen Kosher. The Amarta is usually Loshen Rako. So how come it says Dabri El B'nei Yisrael V'Amarta Leim, the same thing? And first it says Daber, then it says V'Amarta Leim. So he says, no, Daber El B'nei Yisrael tell the men, V'Amarta Leim, they should tell their wives, V'Yosel Lahem Tzitzis. That the wife should tie tzitzis for the husband. So you see, a Beferish Pasuk, the wife can tie the tzitzis for the husband. So Rabbi Kivega likes that. So he quotes that one. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Machlokes, where the women can tie tzitzis or not. So he says, look in the Panim Yofas, and that Pasuk, he has a remez from the Pasuk against the Rabbi Natan. With the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. I remember when I was a little boy, my parents lived in Philadelphia, and there was no yeshiva for me. So my parents sent me to the Bronx to stay by my grandparents to be able to go to yeshiva. So my grandfather taught me how to tie tzitzis. I used to daven in the Young Israel. So I was one of the few people who knew how to tie tzitzis. So they had me tie all the tzitzis in the shul, all the talismans. Everybody was saying a bracha on the tzitzis that I tied. I didn't know kitzur shulchan. My grandfather didn't know that it's a machlekes, where they need lishma. We shouldn't permit a cotton to tie tzitzis. The Netziv has a tshuva. If a cotton ties tzitzis for his own arba kamfas, he can wear it when he's a cotton. Is he permitted to continue wearing that talis after he becomes bar mitzvah? Pashta says that no, because when it was tied, it was shaloi lishma. So he has all tshuva, he's meko. The Netziv thinks that it is good. The Gemara says that tcheles doima l'rakia. Tcheles is the color of the sky. We said Rashi in the Rambam. Rashi says color of the sky at midnight. Rashi says that makas b'charis occurred at midnight. And tcheles is miloshen tichlo, death to the Mitzrayim. So tcheles is supposed to remind us of makas b'charis. That's how Rashi says. Somebody met me years ago, around 10-15 years ago in Los Angeles. He asked me, are there any sources in the Talmud that tcheles is poisonous? So I said, why are you interested? He says he works for the federal government, he's a chemist, and his job is, a lot of people, children, chew on their sweaters, or chew on their clothing. So his job is to make sure that all the dyes in the clothing are not poisonous. So he, for fun, he tested the tcheles, and he says that tcheles is poisonous. So he wanted to know, are there any sources in the Talmud? So I just know this Rashi and Chumash. Rashi says that tcheles loshen tichla, death. Maybe it's supposed to be poisonous. I don't know. So anyway, so the Gemara says in Chagiga, in the second parak, that there are seven heavens. That's where the expression comes from, the guys in seventh heaven. The Gemara says, based on Psukim and Tanakh, there are seven heavens. In order to have seven heavens, you have to have six avirim separating. Otherwise, it's going to be one big heaven. So seven and six, seven heavens and six avirim adds up to 13. The Gemara says, since tcheles domer l'rakia, so you should have a minimum of seven and a maximum of 13 when you make the tzitzis. A minimum of seven, maximum of 13. What is that? What are they talking about? So Tosfos has two pshatim. So one pshat is the way we have. We have four units for so many centuries. We have four units and five knots. A double knot, double knot, double knot. We have 7, 8, 11, 13. So why do you have the smallest number is 7, the largest number is 13? So that follows that opinion. You should have a minimum of 7 kriches in a chulya, that's called a chulya, in between one knot and the other. Minimum of 7, a maximum of 13. The other opinion in Tosfos is, what are you talking about? The Gemara says 3 kriches in a chulya. 3 is 3. What do you need 7? What do you need 13? The Gemara means to say, when you have tcheles, and it's daima l'rakia, you should have a minimum of 7 chulyas. For so many centuries, we only made 4 chulyas with 5 double knots. So the Gemara says, when you have tcheles, you should have a minimum of 7 chulyas and a maximum of 13 chulyas. So our dominic by the Ashkenazim is, we make double knots. You're going to make 13 chulyas, and then going to make 13 chulyas, you're going to have 14 double knots. You're going to have very long strings. You're going to have very long strings. So if you want to satisfy the both opinions, so when you don't have tcheles, Rashi, the Tosfos and the Rambam say, you don't have tcheles anyway, so the whole 7-13 is not so important. But if you already are wearing tcheles, Pashta says you should wear tcheles, so then you should, if you want to satisfy the both opinions, you should really make 7 chulyas, and each chulya should have 7 kriches, and you should have 8 double knots. That'll use up an awful lot of string. If you tell a tcheles company that you want to make 7 chulyas and 7 strings, they'll give you a longer string. The Gemara learns that from the pasuk that ksus laila is not chayiv in tzitzis, and there's a machlokes of Rishonim what that means. So Tosfos' opinion is that means pajamas are not chayiv in tzitzis, but if you wear a talis at night, you are chayiv in tzitzis. A beged laila is not chayiv in tzitzis. The Rambam says no, it's a mitzvah that's only nehegas bayom, it's only nehegas balaila. So if you wear an arba kamfas balaila, it's not pajamas. Same arba kamfas that you wear in the day, when you wear at nighttime, that's a machlokes whether you need tzitzis or not. So that's why the Taz recommends in Hilchas Slichas, you should never put on an arba kamfas, you should never put on a talis balaylo. Let's say the Chazan who davens for an omen is going to dav mayriv, so you should not wear his own talis. If he wears his own talis, he's supposed to, it'll be a machloikas, but he says a brocha. So that's not right to perform a mitzvah without a brocha. You should avoid it. So you should wear someone else's talis. So you're not mechuyev to say a brocha. However you slice it, whether you understand that balayla ya potter or ksus layla, pajamas are potter, the Gemara says, if you hold like that, that the ksus layla is not chayev, so the Gemara says, women are potter from tzitzis. It's a mitzvah saseh shazman grof. So that's really a problem. Tesis raised the problem. If you're like the Rambam, that by Yom Yichai Balayla Yipotah, so we understand it's a mitzvah saseh, shahazman, groma. The zman is gorim, the chiyuv. By Yom Yichai and Balayla Yipotah. If you say pajamas are potter, that's like saying that a three-cornered garment is potter. So how does that show that it's a mitzvah saseh, shahazman, groma? So Tesis works on it. Tesis says, since man plays a role in minkoveh, whether Yichai and tzitzis, so therefore it's called the mitzvah saseh, shahazman, groma. It's a difficult explanation. The Ramor writes in Hilchos Tzitzis that even though the women have the practice, they volunteer to fulfill shofar, and they volunteer to sit in sukkah, to shake a lulav, and they even say a bracha, but they don't volunteer to wear tefillin, and they do not volunteer to wear tzitzis. So the question is, why not? So tefillin, we understand why. Because tefillin, the Gemara says, you need a gufnaki. So because today, we're afraid no one has a gufnaki, so we have cut down wearing our tefillin mamish to the bare minimum. In the days of the Gemara, children weighed before bar mitzvah. Years before, we'd wear tefillin. So today, we cut it down. Many have the minig only after bar mitzvah. So a minig a month before, 3 months before. We don't have 3 years before bar mitzvah. We cut it down. They used to wear tefillin all day long. We don't wear tefillin all day long. We don't recommend. And women would volunteer. We don't recommend avodim. We don't recommend anyone should volunteer. We cut down the wearing of tefillin. Not that the women have a bigger problem of gufnaki than the men. Everybody has a problem of gufnaki. Gufnaki means physically clean and not to have improper thoughts when you wear the tefillin. So because we cut down the tefillin to the bare minimum, so we don't recommend that women should volunteer to put on tefillin. But the shad is, what's wrong with the talus? You don't need a gufnaki for the talus. Why is there a meaning that the women don't wear the talus? So different explanations are given. Some point out that the Targum Yonason on Chumash, which is we know is not written by Yonason ben Azil, the Gemara says he only wrote on Novi. He didn't write on Chumash. So Tav Yud is supposed to be Targum Yerushalmi. It's not really Targum Yonason ben Azil. Not sure exactly who wrote it. It's a big question. So the Targum Yerushalmi on that pasuk that says Ilbush Gevasim Lasisha Vliyekli Gev Alisha, a woman shouldn't dress up like a man. So the Targum Yerushalmi writes, a woman shouldn't wear tzitzis and tefillin. A woman is not allowed to act like a man in any way. Besides talis and tefillin, that's a bigger problem. That's how it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, in the Targum Yerushalmi on that pasuk. There is a question whether a blanket is chayiv in tzitzis. By shatnas, there's a din of shatnas in a levisha and a din of shatnas in ha'aloh. If you wear a blanket, that's shatnas. What about tzitzis also? There's a din of tzitzis in levisha, a din of tzitzis in ha'aloh also. Let's say I sit in a barber seat and they put on a sheet to protect me from all the hair falling on my clothing. So the Mishnah says you have to be careful that sheet shouldn't be shatnas. That's not levisha, that's a halah. So is there a din of tzitz in halah? So the Mogan Avraham quotes it's an obscure rishon. It's not the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam. One of those rishonim that we hardly ever hear of. One of the rishonim said, yeah, that there's a chiyuv tzitzis even halah. So when you sleep at night, if you have a blanket, you sleep at night, so we assume Laila is Lavzman Tzitzis. According to the Rambam, Laila is not Chayvim Tzitzis. What if a person takes a nap in the daytime? Does he have to put Tzitzis on the blanket? So the Magen Avraham quotes, somewhere they quoted Hazadish, was following the Magen Avraham. If the blanket is made from linen, a blanket is made either from linen or from wool, and L'chol Adeis, it's a Chiyuv Deraisa, so then you should take it, be Mahadir, either to put Tzitzis on it, which will look crazy, or to make one of the corners round. So you'll only have three corners. You won't have, if you make a corner round, they're not chayv in tzitzis. But if the blanket is made from other material, other than semer and pishtim, so then we're makel, because we really don't hold like that opinion. Okay, we got to run to mincha. Tomorrow we'll learn Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah a little bit.